Davy, would you just, sorry, would you just give me your full name, please?
David Power.
David Power, and we're here in Castletown Bear, and I'm talking to David because, tell me a little bit about your father, David.
Well, he was born in Castletown, and he left Castletown and went to New York first, and he was in Ellis Island, of course, and for the period of time, and he worked in New York for a year. He went there in 1898, and he went to Butte the following year. The money he got when he landed in New York, I think he had $5. He was the second richest Irishman stepping off the Majestic.
And
there was a lad from Sligo had $50.
Fifty.
And he had, that lad from Sligo had $50, and he was the richest, and he was next at five.
And what was your father's name, David?
My father's name was David Power also.
As well.
Yeah.
And he came from where exactly?
Castletown Bear, the town itself.
The town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he went to Butte, as I say, in 1899. Yeah.
But he came back?
He came back in, not quite sure, but I think it was to be 1914 or 15. I'm not sure, no, it was one of those years anyway. Because all his brothers were in Butte, and they were written to by the parish priest here, and they asked them when some of them come back, because they had a small little bakery, pub, and everything with the British Navy here. At the time, you know, there was good living to be made in it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so they went to the summertime saloon, and they decided on a Saturday evening that they'd cut the cards, and whoever lost would go home.
So this was your father and his brothers?
Yeah, brothers, yeah.
Gambling to decide who would go home.
Yeah, because none of them wanted to go home.
None of them wanted to go home?
No, none of them wanted to go home.
They all wanted to stay in Butte?
They all wanted to stay in Butte, I suppose.
And were they miners?
They were. Two of them were blacksmiths. And Morris and Richie were blacksmiths.
Yeah.
But he was a miner. He was involved in the miners' union hall. What stage, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
But I'd say he was very much involved with the Irish there, and because at that stage, at the start, it was, as far as I, to best of my knowledge, that it was the miners' union selected the law. That's what I, best meaning I could get out of it anyway, to be honest with you.
Right.
And at that stage, for one stage, did at one stage, did what you call it, armored car, come in around the 20s, into Butte, Capone.
Capone, I haven't heard that story now.
And I think it was, and it went up in the air, had to go back on a train.
Oh, that'd be Butte for you.
Oh, I'm telling you. No question. I'd say it was the line there, a fella by the name of, to the best of my knowledge, a fella by the name of Maher from Tipperary bought the line to Butte.
Right.
But he was in, the law was around Butte,
yeah.
But it wasn't inside in it. But then this Maher fella brought the state law in there.
Into the town.
Into the town. And you see, I'd say that's how Judge Lynch was incorporated in as a judge, because he was, I suppose there would be so much arguing to toss about who gets what and where does what go. And anyway, that's how he was incorporated into the law. I'm sure, no, the man was a qualified man, Judge Lynch was.
Yes.
Like, he had gone to university and trained as a...
Didn't want to sit down?
No, I don't. I'm fine.
You mentioned Judge Lynch already. Was it you said somebody didn't like him? Who was it that didn't like him? Or didn't get on?
Well, I'll tell you what the problem was, do you see, how could I put this to you? There was a family from Bearhaven in Bute.
Mm-hmm.
And the husband was in trouble. How big the trouble was, I never found out.
Right.
And the minor union went to Lynch to say, like you, there's nothing here for the wife and family if he goes, whether he went to jail or was executed, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that when Judge Lynch came to Castletown here, he asked me, could he see my father? You see?
Yes.
This was way back down in the late 40s.
Yeah.
After the war. And I said, I don't know, because he never spoke very highly of him. So I asked him. I was, 14 that time?
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, Judge Lynch, I met him down in Peter Murphy's garage, which was there uptown. There's a store now, saw furnishings and all this kind of thing, tables and chairs and all this sort of thing, up in the top of the town. And I said that he said he'd like to see me. And I got got a very smart remark back from him.
From your father?
Yeah. And he came up. He did see him.
Mm-hmm.
And the parting words weren't the best at all.
Oh dear.
They didn't, even though they were all men at this stage. I'd say George Lynch was retired and my father was, he only died a couple of years afterwards himself.
Yeah.
But the parting shot wasn't the best at all.
Oh dear.
Over this family that he reckoned we put you there and you left us down, sort of thing. That was the attitude because it was dog eat dog, like when the Italians had it, the Italians owned it, they owned Bute and there was no more messing about it. You towed the line, you bowed to them, anything that was going, they got it. And when the Irish got it in, it was, we own it now, mate, and that's it, you know. Look what they did to the poor old Chinese when they brought him in there. When was it, who brought him in? Was it your man from Cavan?
Marcus Daly.
Marcus Daly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I think just he brought him in for cheap labour.
Cheap labour.
They were killed like flitty flies, man.
And you mentioned your father's brother Morris.
Well, he was killed in Bute. I don't know what year though, there's no point in telling you. It was sometime around maybe in 1918 or 1919, because my father wanted to go back to America again, go back to Bute again, when that happened. And I don't know, he didn't go back anywhere, but
yeah.
He was actually hit with something and he died of exposure in the frost and snow in Bute.
This was your uncle Morris?
Yeah, Morris, yeah. His family are still there in Bute.
Really? And do you think...
Well, not his...
His descendants?
You know, turned of fortune. Yeah. But then I'd say they couldn't understand it all. One with my own age, she was a third cousin.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yet her great-grandfather was my first cousin.
Yeah.
I was my uncle, sorry.
Of course, yeah. And you mentioned that he died because of his work with the unions?
It was all the union, yeah. All the old fellow said it was and the kind of mining company was the cause of it.
And he was with the blacksmith union?
And there was a solicitor in Bute.
Yeah.
Involved in it.
Oh dear. And he was, your Uncle Morris was in the...
He paid him, and it was actually Bearhaven people hit him. Bearhaven men, family. I know them quite well. And
But it was, he was with the blacksmith union, you said?
Blacksmith side of it, yeah. He was with the blacksmith side. they could get the miners to go, but of course then twas then after that, wasn't it? They blew up the miners' union hall and they robbed it.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of them from here, and that happened in it.
And did your father talk about Bute much when you were growing up here in Castletown?
A little, but not a great lot.
Okay.
You know, he never spoke of the dirty side of Bute at all. Like, no, he wouldn't say to me, you see, because I was too young. Like, my father had the old silicosis, you know, and I used to inject him with, I don't know, was it insulin or something like that? I'm not sure. I used to get out the boil up the syringe and take draw out the 25 and out of the bottle and put up the thing when he'd get an attack.
Really?
Very bad, yeah.
You used to do that, didn't
you? I used to do that when I was only 10 years of age.
Oh. Isn't he lucky to have
Jesus.
You?
Well, he was the poor man, you know, he was a big, strong man, though. Anyway, I'd say there was none of his sons as big or as strong as him.
Really?
Our Tom knew, they're all dead now, like the story, but I'd say Tom was the nearest one to him in size and strength.
And
you
so?
Know, I only knew him when he was an old man, like he was 62 when I was born.
He was 62 when you were born?
Yeah.
And what age were you when he passed away?
I was 14.
14?
Yeah.
Oh. My goodness.
That's life, girl. That's, the show goes on. It was like, there was a, when the Sullivan ship was in here, the American Navy ship, down the harbour, his father fought in the Civil War. That was my great-grandfather fought in the American Civil War.
The American Civil War.
Yes, and I said it to a man a very high man in the American Embassy in Dublin. I said, "Geez, I said you're the man who will tell me where would I get the information on the American Civil War." So he says to me, "What had you to do with it?" Well, I said, "My great grandfather." No one watches my grandfather, James Bower, yes, of course. My father was Dave Bower, and he was Dave Bower. I said, my grandfather fought in the American Civil War. Impossible, my good man, he says to me. See, so I said, I don't know, looks as I don't go into it, but he did fight in it. And if you look it up, the pension was paid out until 1932.
My goodness.
I said, there was no American Civil War pension. Look it up and you will find them correct.
Yeah.
I said it was paid out to a woman by the name of Johanna Power.
Yeah.
Her husband, James Power.
And did he die in the Civil War?
Oh, no, he didn't. Oh, no, he came home out of it. But he died young because there was a bullet in him somewhere that they couldn't remove it at that time anyway.
And do you know what side he fought in, or what battalion?
We fought in the north side.
The north side?
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you know any more than that? What battalion, or...
I never got any information. Your man said it was the height of impossibility.
Yeah.
For my grandfather to fight in the American Civil War, so like...
Oh, I think there was lots of Irish in it, on both sides.
Well, sure there was. Wasn't there one battle where there were nearly all Irish fighting on both sides?
Yeah, I've heard that story.
There was an awful big crowd, Irish shouting at one another.
So your grandfather went out to America and came back?
He came back.
And then your father went
out
to America?
Well, he came out to see, and when he was in, I suppose he was invalided out of the army.
Right.
And I suppose he got maybe, I don't know, probably 100 or a couple of 100 quid.
Mm.
And he kept that.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably got the pension then as well. And I think he got a second pension for, I think, he got some few bob for the bullet being lodged in him that they couldn't remove.
Yeah.
But he died a young man. He died at 58, but he had a dozen kids. He married a young woman of about 20, and he was a man in his 40s.
Yeah.
All his birthdays fell into one day. And it was what I mean. And that was life, that was the general life around here, like.
Yeah.
And I'd say, going back 50 years, there are very few houses on this peninsula that there wasn't some whole families, as well as an odd one of the family, very few houses that there wasn't a person in Butte.
In Butte.
Yeah.
And your father only, you said he didn't talk about the bad side of Butte.
No.
But did he talk about the good side of Butte?
Well, he did.
Yeah.
He talked about, like, how the miners' union, how they got organised when they took it off the Italians.
Yeah.
And how they got men that were, they got the silicosis, how they looked after it.
Right.
Them and everything like that.
Yeah.
Yet there's no, I was into the records office, I'd say her father was very, very well involved in the area, in the woman in Butte that runs the, I don't know is it, what office, but she has all the records of all.
The archive.
The archive of Butte, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd say his people came from Limerick. Yeah, I don't know, I think he's in the home now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, but anyway, that man, he was telling me that, like, when they were growing up in Butte, it was, there was no cakewalk there either, like.
No, it was very tough.
It was a very tough town, like.
Very tough.
And, like, that man told me himself, he said to me, he said, you're from Ireland? I said, I am. He said, if any of your people in Butte, oh, sorry, there was a man. I said, there's still a family here. And I said, he was this Morris Power. You know, he was a bit of a loose cannon, like, he didn't give a damn.
Right.
He bucked the system. He didn't, like, if he thought this was wrong, it was wrong, and there was no dodging or weaving at all. It's wrong, and that's it, it's out,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Morris Power was his name. He was known as Sonny Powers, you might have.
Sonny Powers.
Yeah, he was known as Sonny Powers. And he is dead now, the poor man.
Oh, yeah.
But this fella that I was telling you about, that his daughter is the charge of the archives.
Yeah.
He was being set upon by Italians, and he came along, and your man asked him to help him, had him in the ground, and they were giving it to him. And he said, Sonny came along, he said, and he saved my life that night. He was a big man. He was, I'd say, about 6 foot odd, and he was minor.
Brawny, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he was
so
big, strong man.
So your father was David, and your uncle was Morris.
That's right.
And what was the third brother's name?
And there was Richie.
Richie.
And no, where they went to, I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know.
You don't
Richie.
Have any family contacts out there at all?
No family contacts at all.
Yeah, yeah.
He and was a blacksmith, that Richie fella.
And did they all go out together, David?
No,
you
no.
Know,
no,
they
no.
Went
no, no. They wouldn't have the money to go together again.
Which was all through the slate of the cannon.
Oh, Jesus, there was one. Oh, Jesus, don't talk about
it. I should not tell that.
Forget about that.
I'll turn it off.
Yeah. There was a.
Do you want me to turn it off?
There was. I'll tell you just one. Don't turn it off a second.
No. So the three brothers then, they went out one at a time.
They did. No, when they went, I don't know.
Yeah.
I know one of them, Richie, did go after my father.
Yeah.
Because my father was well established, and because the two of them fought in the. And the other brother was Eddie. And they fought in the First World War.
They did?
They did. The First World War, the Americans.
So there was four of them?
There was four altogether, yeah.
And did they all go to Butte?
They did, they were all in Butte, yeah.
Oh, and that's why there was nobody left?
There was nobody at home, then only three women.
Yeah.
What am I now? One, two, three, four women.
Yeah.
Four daughters that were at home.
Yeah.
And all the lads were in Butte.
Good Lord.
But sure, that was the same in every house here in Berehaven. That time, at the turn of the 1900s, there was every, the thing was, one fella went out, he earned a price for the other fella to go out.
Yeah.
And they left one after the other, and unfortunately, it was the weaklings who were kept at home.
Yeah. Why do you say unfortunately?
Because, well, damn it.
The breed wasn't going to get any stronger, was it?
See?
Say that again.
The breed wasn't going to get any stronger.
Oh, I see what you mean. All the strong, smart
the ones
went.
Went.
They were.
The mothers kept the weakling at home, you see, because it was her.
Yeah.
Keep him under her wing. Maybe she could handle him better too, though.
Yeah, yeah. My goodness.
But that was the.
Well, they weren't fit to face the world either, I suppose.
Well, if they weren't as strong, you wouldn't want to send them off to go mining, or that'd be the end of them.
Yeah, but sure, how many of them went in with mining? How many of them went to Butte from here and they were killed the first day they went down the mine? You see, the timber work used to be done well.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
There was no health and safety,
these days.
Yeah,
yeah. But when your father came back, he obviously had a family and everything when he came back.
No, my father came back at, I'd say he didn't get married. I'd say he fully intended to go back out to America again.
Yeah.
But he didn't, that was it. Got
your
married.
Mother wouldn't go, let's face it.
My mother wouldn't go, no.
Yeah. So how many were in your family then? How many did
there was Dick. There was Jim. Two lads died. There was Jim, Eddie, Tommy,
Dick,
myself. They're all dead. Only me and
one sister.
And my sister, one sister, Mary. She's alive.
And did any of you get to Butte?
I'd say I was the only one. I don't know whether Tommy came down from Canada or not. He used to go to Canada to his daughter.
Yeah.
No, whether she. He went down to Butte. There's one of them powers. There was one of them powers, I don't know. I'd say they're doing something on him now because he went through the Second World War. He'd be the Morris man's son that was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of those fellas. He was a great ball pitcher.
Baseball?
No.
American football?
American football.
Right.
And the Jesuits spotted him.
Yeah.
And he said, they could go to school. Nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
The mother could barely feed him.
Yeah.
And they went anyway to Butte to the mother and they made some deal with the mother and they educated him.
Yeah.
That was Morris, the lad that was murdered, son, no.
Yeah.
He was J.J. Power. He got a Purple Heart. And when his sons have a law business in Omaha, Nebraska.
I looked them up, but I've heard the name of J.J. Power.
So he got the Purple Heart. They were looking for the nickname they had on him at one stage in Butte, and they asked me that I know. I said I had no clue. I know he was known as J.J. to me.
I'll try and find that out for you.
I know, but he was the only one of them, I'd say, that was educated. The rest were just ordinary working class.
Yes.
But they trained him to be a lawyer, the Jesuits.
Mm-hmm.
And just as he qualified, Second World War broke out. And off he goes and he fought all up through the islands in Japan.
Yeah.
To Japan. And he was wounded badly. He got home out of it.
Yeah.
He lived. And when he got home, I think he was made the DA for Omaha or Nebraska or whatever.
Yeah.
What, somewhere near anyway.
My goodness.
And he packed that job in and he went in with some, I don't know, was it a Jewman or who he actually went in with, that I do not know, I couldn't say that as true now, but whoever it was, they left him the business because it was only a two-man show at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, there's about, I think, there's about 60 now.
Oh, very good.
So I'm like, I know whether to still up and going, I
yeah.
don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
But
you went to Butte yourself?
I did.
What did you think?
2 years ago.
What did you think of it?
Oh, trust but I always thought it was.
Yeah, yeah. What were you expecting?
I was expecting to see only from what I got, what I saw, that it was going to be, you know, that, like it there's no point in saying different. It was
the song?
Dog rough.
I can turn it off if you want.
Yeah, no. It was a dog rough tumble and there was no point in saying anything about it.
No.
There was one case where a fella driving the lift down the mine, right? And there was one of the shift bosses, an awful so-and-so. He gave everybody a very rough time. And he turned around and the lad driving the thing, there was, you'd count so many things that your man got on the car.
The bells.
And he knew the time your man would be just stepping into the car, left it go.
Oh.
Full belt. Now he was in mid-air and he followed the car down.
Oh, God.
And like all of a sudden,
yeah.
The brakes were applied after 30 feet or whatever, and he was plastered inside the car.
God.
But he lived.
Yeah.
And the last salute was when he was carried out. He says, I'll get out of this and I'll get you. And he did.
He did. Oh, it's a tough town, but it's a great spot.
Huh? Oh, Jesus, I don't know.
They're great characters. You mentioned Julie earlier. She's great.
But I'll tell you, Julie didn't know where she came from, where
yeah.
her people came from.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll tell you, there's a lad here now on the cab that was reared quite close to where these people. Oh, she says, I have a load of photographs.
Yeah.
Well, I said, you bring them tomorrow.
Yeah.
Give them to this man and he'll tell you.
Yeah.
If he knows any of them. And he knew him.
Oh, my goodness.
So her people came from Glenbeg. It's out about 10 miles out towards Argroom.
Right. My goodness.
But you're not American.
No, I'm not. I'm from County Clare. My mother's from Skibbereen, from Conana.
Oh, yes.
From between Ross and Lepp. And my father was a Kerry man. And I'm from County Clare. But I'm married to a man from Butte, so we live out there.
Do you mind telling me where you met him? we're going to interview you now.
You've introduced me now. I'll pause. I want it. So, just to finish off there, today was the 27th of July, and I'm just finishing this interview here. Very impromptu interview in Castletown Bear.
Oh, I see.
With David Power, and thank you so much, David. I
really
appreciate
it. I'll sign that.